The epistle appointed for this Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered once for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by virtue of his own blood, into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of ashes of a heifer sanctified the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is a mediator of the new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. John. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convince me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews therefore in answer said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou hast a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death." And the Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keepeth my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. My beloved people, we were started the Lenten season, the pre-Lenten season, I should say. St. Paul gave us 3 epistles for our example and conduct, how we should prepare walking towards God. The first one, he talks about running a race, how our conduct should be towards God. In the second, he talks about all the complications, the sufferings, misunderstandings, sufferings, disappointments. And in the third one, he crowns it with charity, saying the things that he said about charity: even if I give my body up to be burned, if I don't have charity, it is nothing. If it's not all done for the love of God, it's exactly what it is, nothing. How well are we practicing this? Our Lord himself preached this and suffered this, all for the love of us, to such a point that St. Paul points out in his epistle this morning that this oblation is much greater than the former. There's no doubt that in St. Paul's time there were probably those who were skeptical about the new law with the old one, still adhering to the Jewish law, and ceremonies, but he points out that the sprinkling of the bloods and calves was only temporary. It was only for a time. But now that the man God has appeared, he only had to do it one time, and once was sufficient. This ultimate oblation for our sins, which the priest, as you know, at Mass, just before consecration, puts his hands over the chalice, placing all the sins of the world on that oblation, renewing this again and again every day. Can we even comprehend what our Lord has done, what our Lord has given to us, saving us from ourselves, cleansing us from our wicked conscience, giving us grace instead of misery, to cleanse our conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? That's what that is. The epistle, or the gospel, now since it's Passion Sunday, we're starting to hear our Lord challenging the Jews, proving to them that he is who he says he is. First of all, the challenge is, which one of you can convince me of sin? Who could ever say that? What human being could ever say that? We're all sinners. And by saying this, he also has proved it by his miracles. Yet they did not want to know the truth. They kept denying the truth. He kept proving it, kept saying it. They wouldn't listen. We too sometimes deny the truth. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to adhere to our Lord's words or his teaching. There are countless numbers in the world today refusing to acknowledge Christ as God, not because they are intellectually convinced, but because the acceptance of his divinity would mean a complete change in their lives and the moral conduct. And what do we see today in the world about moral conduct? People going around doing the things they're doing, saying, this is the way I am, so if anyone's going to change, basically it has to be God, because I'm not. I love the person or thing that I'm with. I'm not going to change, and no one's going to change me. And God's just going to have to accept me as I am. Those who knowingly reject Christ by reason of the evil lives they lead must be prepared to pay the penalty, consequences of our actions. Look how the Jews today was taunting and talking the way they did to our Lord. Oh, you're a Samaritan. You have a devil. You're evil. But he tells them plainly, the Father, in whom you say is your God. My Father, whom you say is your God. Can it get any clearer than that? Yet they still kept on saying, would not accept it. How horrible it'll be in the end. Our Lord has to look at these people with loving eyes and a loving heart, and yet have to say those most horrible words. I don't know thee. Then what? He told the Jews, you will not hear from me again, not until you learn to cry, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what he said to them. So for the consequences of their actions, they stay in disbelief. We can change the outcome. We have that power, which we can cleanse our conscience, give up our former evil lives, stay close to the sacraments, especially the sacrament of penance, amend our lives, and show to the good Lord and prove to him that we do believe him, we do trust him, we do listen to him, we do want to obey him and be with him for all eternity. The world doesn't want this. The world wants to be in its own happy little whatever. And so many people fall for that. They give up too quickly, not willing to suffer for Christ. Sometimes they want the crown of glory before the crown of thorns. Remember, suffering is a grace, a great grace. In some circumstances, it can heal someone really quickly, especially if they've been away from the church for a long, long time, because God picked them out. I give this to you, not to anybody else in your family, you specifically. Now I expect you to do something with it. Are you going to complain about it? Murmur about it? Or are you going to accept it? Look at how our Lord had accepted the treatment that he had from his own chosen people. The very ones he wanted to save. We cannot act in like manner. We have to do better. We know the truth. And if we deny it, and we're like he said, we're all liars. The sorrowful journey now for the next 2 weeks, as you can see, our Lord is taking the hits, so to speak. But he's not giving up. Sure, there could be room for discouragement because of what they said and did, but not him. The love of man is too great. I've got to continue. I've got to go forward. I've got to do everything in my power to prove to these people, my chosen ones, that I love them. With compassion, patience, with charity, kindness, meekness, this is what he has done, or tried to do. But for us, we know. So in these last few weeks of Lent, let us redouble our efforts. Be more sincere in our prayers. More conscientious in our daily duties. Always reminding the good Lord that, yes, I am sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. And as I look at that crucifix, I'm reminded of what I have done by my sins. This is what I have done. And all I need, or all I ask from you, is your forgiveness and your mercy. And our Lord gives us both of those easily and graciously in the sacrament of penance. So take courage. Do your best. The Lord loves you. A love that we cannot ever comprehend or understand. And all he wants in return is your love. May God bless you. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.